of man. God designed a master plan. He exchanged the sinner for the sinless one. Jesus left his throne on high, came to earth to bleed and die. He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. He is mine. He is mine. I am blessed beyond all measure. He is mine. I have pardon full and free through the blood he shed for me. Saved forever I shall be. He is mine. Through God's mercy and his grace, he's prepared for us a place. Words cannot describe the matchless beauty there. We will praise his perfect Lamb, King of kings, the great I am. He has made the joys of heaven ours to share. He is mine. Beyond all measure, he is mine. I have pardon full and free through the blood he shed for me. Saved forever I shall be. He is mine. Beyond all measure, he is mine. I have pardon full and free through the blood he shed for me. Saved forever I shall be. He is mine. I have pardon full and free through the blood he shed for me. I shall be.
He is mine.
He is mine.
Praise the Lord for that. Amen. I'm glad he's mine. Song of Solomon says, I am my beloved's and he is mine. Amen. Thank God for that. When you go through that Song of Solomon, you'll find the growing process where he just realizes, well, I am my beloved's.
Right.
Amen. Right. He realizes, thank God I belong to him. And I'm so glad that I do. Well, we're glad you're here today. Are you glad you're here today?
Amen.
Amen. Half of you are. The other half, I think, is going to be glad. No. Good to see you in the house of the Lord. And I don't take it lightly. In a day when the world tries to offer so many things to grab at people's attention and time, that you have set aside a time on Sunday morning to be in the house of God. And well, you should. This is where, listen, there's no better place to be in this hour than in God's house, worshiping the God of heaven with God's people. Amen? And I've had people tell me over and again, throughout my ministry, after they come to church, they say, you know, I'm so glad I came. You know what I'm talking about? You ever, you know, you kind of get the droopsies and the downs, and you think, well, you know, I don't think I'm going to go today. But you go on and do what's right, and you go to God's house, and afterward you're just refreshed, and you can say, I'm so glad I came. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, we've all experienced it at one time or the other. Well, this is Pastor's Appreciation Month, and we've been preaching from the Word of God about pastors and their responsibilities to the church and the church's responsibility to the pastor. And today I want to talk to you about preaching. because of all the responsibilities that I as a pastor and the assistant pastors and the men of God that are across this country who stand and preach the Word of God, of all the responsibilities that we have preaching the Word of God, and I want to make that very clear, not just preaching, preaching the Word of God is the greatest responsibility. And I want to talk to you about that and how it affects you. And we have here in this second epistle that Paul wrote to Timothy. Paul is getting ready, as you heard in the reading today, you read along with Pastor David as he read, and he said in verse number 6, he said, "The time of my departure is at hand." He's getting ready to pull out. He's getting ready to make the crossing. Paul's getting ready to go to heaven. And he's not sad. He's not shaking. He's not trembling. He's anticipating. He's looking forward to that time. He said, "The time of my departure." He said before that, "I'm ready." Amen? I wonder if you're ready. So, well, I may not die today. I know that, but you may. Well, you can't prove I will. You can't prove you won't. So it pays to be ready. Are you ready? Paul said, "I'm ready." And he said, "The time of my departure is at hand." And so because of that, he instructs this young preacher. Now, Timothy was a young protege. He was a man who had mentored under Paul. He was Paul's own son in the faith. Paul had led him to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy, obviously, from what we read in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, you can turn there if you will. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, turn back a few pages. You'll find where in verse number 5, he had a good godly grandmother, Lois, and a good godly mother, Eunice. And they had faith, and they had brought up young Timothy in the Scripture, the Word of God. You can find that in verse number chapter 3 and verse number 15 of 2 Timothy, where Paul says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And I think that's a good testimony for a mother and a grandmother to take that young child and to instill in him the Scripture. But as we go back to chapter 1, we find where Paul has to kind of say some things to shake Timothy a little bit. And I need that in my life. And you need that in your life. You say, "Well, I don't think I do." Well, that's even more proof that you do. Now, what had happened is Timothy was a pastor. He was the pastor of the church at Ephesus. And you can find that through history, but you can also find it in the Word of God, where Paul had sent Timothy there to pastor the church in Ephesus. And no doubt any church has their problems, and the church at Ephesus was going through some times. We find, as we read in the book of the Revelation, that the church had began to wane and began to leave their first love. Some things that were troubling young Timothy. And Paul told young Timothy here, he said, "Now, Timothy, if you're going to be in the ministry, there's some things that you need to understand." And I want to share some of those things with you. First of all, I want you to notice in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6, I like what Paul did here. He charged the young preacher, but he encouraged him all at the same time. Now, if you're here and you're in ministry, perhaps you're a Sunday school teacher, perhaps you work in the bus ministry, perhaps you're someone who works with our children, our youth, our juniors, or your assistant pastor, maybe you're in the missions, whatever you do in ministry, occasionally we all need what I'm going to tell you that Paul did for Timothy right here. And I want you to notice what he did. He did it because he loved him. He reached out to Timothy and he said, "Now, Timothy, look at chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, verse number 6. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou, therefore, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." What's Paul doing? He's saying, "Timothy, listen, stir some things up, young man. Don't you, listen, don't you stay down. It's all right to get down from time to time, but Timothy, don't you stay down. Stir up that gift in you. Realize why you're doing what you're doing. There's souls at stake. People's souls are hanging in the balance. Eternity is at stake here. Timothy, it's not a time to back off. It's a time to go forward." Amen? It's not a time to quieten down. It's a time to speak up. It's a time to stand up. and be counted. You get over to chapter number 4, in the reading of the scripture, Paul said, now as he begins to close out his letter, last words of the Apostle Paul that's recorded in the Holy Scripture. And here they are. He said, I charge thee therefore before God, the all-seeing eye of God, is what Paul was saying here. God's watching, Timothy. God's watching. God's listening. God's watching what I do. God's listening to my preaching. God's listening to your preaching. God's listening to your teaching. God's watching your ministry. God's listening if you're sharing Jesus with others. God's listening in our conversation. God's watching what we're doing. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. God is looking. God is watching. You say, well, preacher, how should that stir me? Hey, listen, I should have to say no more. That ought to stir you up to know that God is going to hold us accountable one day. Notice what Paul told Timothy. He said in verse number 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. He said, judgment's coming one day, Timothy. Timothy, I want you to live the way that you will be glad you lived when you stand before God one day. Timothy, I want you to preach the way that you'll be glad you did when you stand before Jesus one day. He said, I want you to teach the way you'll be glad you did when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day. And brethren, that's to all of us. He said, I charge you. I charge you. I challenge you. I put out a solemn warning to you, Timothy. I charge you. One day, Jesus is coming. And all those who have been saved by the grace of God is going to stand at the judgment bar, the judgment seat of Christ. And he said, the one day the kingdom's coming. And how we live here is going to determine what we will be in that kingdom. And he said, you better take that seriously. He said, now because of that, and I want to give you some words here. Number one, give you about 4 or 5 words, and I'm going to build some truth around them. Readiness. Would you write that word down? Readiness. As a preacher, as a Christian, as a teacher, as a minister, as someone in ministry, whether it be the bus ministry, the children's ministry, the youth ministry, he said, Timothy, you better be ready. Amen? Stay ready, Timothy. Stay ready. They ought not have to be people light a fire under you. Wouldn't it be terrible to come to church every Sunday morning and you have to pump the preacher up? Wouldn't it be something to come to church every Sunday night and you have to light a fire under the preacher? Every Wednesday night, you got to pump the preacher up. Got to get him going. Come on now, preacher. You got to preach to us, preacher. Hey, Paul said, Timothy, preach the word. Amen. Be ready. Be ready to preach. When I walk in those doors, I'm not getting ready. I'm ready. Amen. I'm ready to preach. Any preacher that's worth his salt, when he walks through the place where God's going to unleash him, he's ready to go. Amen. Whether it's around a campfire, whether it's in a cabin, whether it's in a church, whether it's on the street, when God calls a man to preach, when he walks up to that place, God has him ready. Be ready, Timothy. Preach the word. Now, we live in a day. Now, why should I preach the word? I can name many reasons, but I'm going to give you a few here. He said, preach the word. Notice what he said here in verse number 2. Be instant. That means be ready. Be ready. Now, I want to make this very clear. Because of what Paul says in verse number 3, he said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers. So I'm not talking about teaching here. I want to talk for a moment about preaching. You say, well, I thought they were one and the same. Well, I'm going to help you to understand that that's not the case. The word preach here means herald. Herald. You know what a herald is, don't you? A herald is a man that the king used to stand out on the king's court on the high place and unroll the scroll and say, hear ye, and give out the king's proclamation. That's what I am. I'm a heralder. Amen. God has called me to herald. I'm giving out the king's proclamation. Any man that will stand and preach the word of God is a herald. He ought to herald out with some urgency what the king has said. Now, when the king had something to say and the subjects of the kingdom didn't like it, they didn't shoot the herald. Right. Amen? Because he was just a messenger. And any man that's a preacher of the word of God is just a messenger. Right. You see, it's not the messenger that folks have problems. Well, I don't like that loud preaching. I don't think it's the volume. I think it's the subject material. Right. Here Paul said in chapter number 4 and verse number 2, preach! Preach! You know what we need today in America? Preaching. Amen. Preaching. You know what we need in our world as we send these missionaries out around the world? Preaching. preaching. We need some men to stand up in the authority and power of God with an open Bible and preach the word. You say, well, that's a new thing, isn't it, preacher? No, listen, that preaching's been going on in this country ever since its inception. Ever since the birth of America, there's been men that blazed the trail, that pioneered and opened up this old black back book and preached the word of God, amen. You know what's going to help our country more than anything? It's not getting another president. It's not getting another governor. Though you ought to vote November 7th. Everybody say amen right there. It's not getting another president or a governor or a statesman or whether it's Republican or Democrat or independent or libertarian. What we need is some men full of the Holy Ghost to stand up with an open Bible and preach what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Amen. We need some Bible preaching. Preach the word. Well, now, preacher, we like it, like verse number 3, some may say, when we go to church, and I've talked to folks who say, we have dramas, we have a dance team, we have a worship team, we have a man comes out and sits on a stool and tells us everything's going to be cool. Hey, you hear me? What we need is a man to stand up and open up the Bible and tell us what God said, amen.
Amen.
I like jokes, preacher. I like the Word of God. I like stories, preacher. I like the Word of God. When Paul told Timothy to preach, he said, Timothy, leave your opinions, leave your jokes, leave your stories, leave the drama. Hear me now. Leave all that stuff, your dim lights and your dry eyes, whatever else you got. Leave it outside. Come into the church house and preach the Bible, amen. Preach the Bible. It's what we need. Society's changing, brethren. Listen to me. There's folks that are gravitating. Paul said it was going to happen. Look at verse 3. He said the time will come. I want to, and I'm not one who changes the word of God, but I want to tell you the time has come. The time has come. Paul said it will come. I'm here to tell you, brethren, it has come. When men will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear the word. See, they don't want the word because the word will change them. They want to change the word. And so now we've got over 250 translations of what they call the Bible. That's not the word. You listen to me. Paul said, preach the word. Preach the word. You say, well, in that time, there wasn't just the Old Testament scriptures. Well, if I had time this morning, I'd turn and show you where there's several other manuscripts that was around during this time. So Paul was referring to both the Old and the New Testament. It wasn't completed, but Paul was referring when he spoke of the scriptures. You read sometime in Peter when Paul was spoken of what Paul had wrote. Peter called what Paul had wrote the scriptures. The scriptures. And so I understand what's being said here. Done my homework. What Paul was saying here is, Timothy, preach the word of God. Preach it out of the Old Testament. Preach it out of the New Testament. Preach it under the Old Covenant. Preach it in the New Covenant. Amen. Tell people about God and Jehovah and Israel. Tell people about Jesus and Gentiles and what you must do to be born again. Can I tell you, when a man will preach the Bible, now hear me now, when a man will preach the Bible is always right. Look, if you would, back in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture, and it's profitable. What's that mean? Whatever God says is so. Whatever God says about man is so. You say, well, now we have psychologists and psychoanalysts, and we have these folks that are saying this about man. We have these scientists that are saying, well, you know, we came and we evolved from monkeys or a single cell amoeba that come from the ocean. God said in the beginning, God created, and that's good enough for me. Amen. What God says about man is so. What God says about women is so. What God says about sin is so. What God says about life is so. What God says about death is so. What God says about heaven is so. What God says about hell is so. What God says about eternity is so. What God says is so. That's why it's important I preach the word. We need to know what God has said. Now, what's he saying? He said here, Timothy, you preach the word. Why? He said because there's going to come a time when people will not want to hear the word. Now, you're obviously here today, so you do. But now, you remember now, not everyone wants to hear Bible preaching. There's folks today that have gathered in buildings who will hear a essay, no preaching, an essay. There are folks today that will gather in a building and watch a drama, no preaching, a drama. There are folks today who will gather in a place that they call church and see their dance team, no preaching. There are folks today who will meet in a place they call church and they'll sing for 45 minutes to an hour and a half, no preaching. And then we shake our heads and scratch our head and say, what's wrong with America? No preaching. No preaching. How can preaching cure the ills of America? Well, I'm going to show you. Notice what the scripture says. 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. That means, Timothy, be ready. Be ready when they want to hear it, and be ready when they don't. Be ready when they like it, and be ready when they don't. Be ready when it's popular, and be ready when it's not. Timothy, you just preach the word. Now, why did Paul write this? Well, I've done a little research, and I want to share it with you. Go back, if you would, to chapter number 1. Chapter 1, Paul had to stir old Timothy up. He was obviously being affected by some things that were going on. Now, it's hard. Now, we might sit here in this church today where people are saying amen and lifting their hand and nodding their heads and saying, you know what? That's good. That's the Bible. That's what the Bible says. But now, it's not going to be long. We're going to head out these doors. And we're going to face a group of people who won't be shaking their head and saying amen. And when you mention the word Jesus, they're going to smile and say amen. Might even say hallelujah. They might even say glory hallelujah. That'll really shake some folks up. But there's a world out there that doesn't want to hear about Jesus. There is a spirit of Antichrist in this world that is against the Bible and preaching the word in Jesus. And it had already began in this day. Notice if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul mentions in verse number, look if you would in verse number 15. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15, he said, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. You say, who are they? Well, notice what the scripture says about them. He said, the Lord gave mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed. See, there were those in Paul's days, Phygellus and Hermogenes, they were ashamed. Boy, I tell you, down there at that Fellowship Baptist Church, they say amen, and they say come on and preach it, brother, and lift their hand. And old Phygellus and Hermogenes said, oh, that just embarrasses me. Of course, they go to the ball game, somebody spills their beer on them because they get so excited that their team scored a touchdown. That doesn't bother them. Yeah. Man, they jump up and say, woo, go touchdown, woo. Come to church and somebody say, man, they look like, wow, that guy's dangerous. It's dangerous. Yeah. Am I telling the truth, brethren? He said there's people that are ashamed of old-time religion. There's people that are ashamed of the way church ought to be. So they tried to tone it down and change it. That's why no sinners are getting saved. That's why people come as they are and leave as they came. That's why there's no conviction. That's why the power of God's not present. That's why there's not newborn babes crying in the church house anymore. Hear me now. Hear me. We looked a couple of weeks ago in the Old Testament, and we saw where those children of Israel got with Nehemiah and said, Nehemiah, get the man of God over here. Get Ezra over here and preach the Bible to us. Bring the book, man of God. Bring the book, man of God. And here, hundreds of years later, here's another man standing up and telling this young man, preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. Been handed down to me, and by the grace of God, these young men that have been called to preach, I ought to hand it down to them, and I ought to hand it down to the next generation, and I ought to hand it down to the next generation. Preach the Bible. Amen. Don't ever be ashamed of the Bible. Never. Amen. Everybody in here ought to say amen. Amen. They were ashamed. Look at chapter 2. Not only in that day, as in our day, people are ashamed. People stand and lift their hands and say hallelujah. People stand up and say, oh, I've been set free. Jesus has done liberated me, amen. Got born again, been washed in the blood. People say, ooh, that's emotionalism. Huh? Well, I tell you right now, they don't mind getting emotional when somebody gives them a gift card to go shopping for $100. That's not emotionalism. But somehow when somebody gets saved and gets crying and praising God, that's emotionalism. But you slip them a couple of $100 bills to go shopping and go out with a day with the wife, boy, they don't call that emotionalism. We've got our priorities mixed up. We've let this old spirit of Antichrist tone us down. Right, we got a big world out there saying that. Listen, you little old Christians, y'all meet over there in your corner, but just keep it calm. Calm it down, right? Bible says here in chapter 2, notice if you would, there's another group of people. The Bible says in verse number 17 of chapter 2, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth of what? Erred. So you see, in chapter 1, there's a couple of guys, they were ashamed of the truth. They were ashamed of old-time religion. In chapter 2, here's a couple that have erred from it. Boy, we're seeing that today. Right. Take out the choir and get the worship team. Right? Get rid of those hymn books and let's sing those little seven-line choruses over and over again. No substance. Listen to me. No truth. No doctrine. Get rid of the preacher. Let's get us a little teacher. Our ears are itching. We've erred from the truth. Get rid of that King James Bible and bring one of those New Age books in here that'll tell us what we want to hear. Say amen now. Tell us what we want to hear. Water it down. Weaken it up. So we won't be confronted with pure, unadulterated truth. Paul said here in chapter 2, he said, who concerning the truth have erred. So there's not only those that are ashamed. And Paul said, now Timothy, be careful. You'll get around folks. You'll get a little excited about your Christianity. And they'll say, now just Timothy, calm down. And then there are those who'll say, well, he's excited now. I'll give him 6 months and he'll calm down. Been saved over 30 years. Hadn't got over it yet. Amen. If you get over it, I pray that the Spirit of God will remind you of what Paul told Timothy. Stir up the gift in you. You need somebody to stir up a fire in you. Chapter 2, erred. Be careful now. That's why we tell folks here at Fellowship Baptist Church, when you come to church, bring a Bible. Amen. I'll never forget some time ago, Sharon and I had a couple in our house, and they were telling us about this spiritual service that they went to. And I said, whoa, okay, this sounds exciting. And then the more they talked, I thought, whoa, wow, here, what? Yeah, man, it was so good. I mean, they were people rolling in the floor and speaking in tongues. And then this woman got up and prophesied this, and then some people got up and sang that. And then you know what happened? The preacher got up and told a few accounts and then left. We didn't even need our Bible. And I looked that woman right in the face and I said, I wouldn't go to a service where you didn't need your Bible for nothing. Need your Bible. Open up the Bible. Amen. So, well, he gave us a word of prophecy, preacher. If you're going to give me a word of prophecy, I want to be able to follow it right here in my Bible. Amen. Preach the word. Is that what he said? Preach the word. Oh, Hymenaeus, look at chapter 2, verse 17. Oh, Hymenaeus and Philetus, concerning the truth, they erred. And God help me not to err. God help you. We need to stay humble. Need to realize that without the power of the Holy Spirit, there's not a one of us in ourselves that are outside of being ashamed in chapter 1 or erring in chapter 2. You get over to chapter number 3, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Paul said in verse number 1, this know also, then the last days perilous times shall come. Again, I want to say perilous times have come. You begin to read down through here, and you apply that to many modern day homes, and you can see where it's unfolded right here in our very time. Paul gets down to verse number 5, and he said, you know, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. He said, from such turn away. They're just going through the motions. Now, brethren, listen to me. I'm going to wrap up right here in a moment, but I want you to listen to me. I'm not here to put on no show. I'm not here to impress you. I'm here to preach the truth to you. Yes, I get animated. Yes, I get excited. Yes, I preach with passion and urgency. And I pray to God that if I ever quit doing that, that if you don't have enough of what it takes to tell me to step aside, that I will. I'll have enough of what it takes to step aside. Because if a man's going to get behind this pulpit, he ought to have a little fire burning in his bosom. Amen. He ought to realize that if he cannot stand up here and proclaim what thus saith the Lord, step out of the way and let somebody that will. Because when people walk through those doors up there, they walk through needing something. Not just wanting something, needing something. We need to be reminded that there's a God in heaven and He's real. And we have life and we can go through this life with or without Him. And we need to be reminded that God has promised that He would go with us all the way. Never leave us nor forsake us. Meet every need. I don't want to just go through the form. Go through the ceremonial form. So many Christians have gotten to that place. They can come and sit on a chair or a pew somewhere, play church, do the church thing, and then go their way. I pray to God that that's not what ever happened here at Fellowship Baptist Church, where we just kind of get in a ritualistic ceremonial form, to where we just come and do our church duty, do our church Sabbath, and then move on. Oh, God, help us. Have mercy on us. Brethren, I pray that we would realize that we've met here to fuel up, to get some help so we can go out in the world and make a difference for Jesus Christ. Amen. If you'll notice, in verse number 8, there's two more individuals. We saw them in chapter 1. They were ashamed. In chapter 2, they erred. Look in chapter 3 at these two individuals. Verse number 8 of chapter 3 says, Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also, what? Resist the truth. So you got those that are ashamed of the truth in chapter 1. And you've got those that in chapter 2, that the scripture says they're not ashamed of the truth, but they err from the truth. Then you get here in chapter 3 and these resist the truth. They want to argue about it. They want to try to shout down the truth and speak out against the truth. They are mimicking the truth. Now, who is Jannes and Jambres? Well, when you study this scripture closely and you look at the writings of Josephus and you go back to the book of Exodus, you'll find that most probably, according to scripture, these were the magicians that were in Pharaoh's group that tried to mimic and duplicate the miracles of Moses. And that's why he's mentioned here in verse number 8 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Now, who are these? Well, it's this group of people in verse number 5 that have a form but deny the power. But notice what he said here in verse number 7. These folks are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're like vessels in the wind that are tossed to and fro. From this to that to this, there's no stability in their lives. They haven't planted their feet and say, here I'm going to grow. Under my man of God and with these people, I'm going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so Paul said, Timothy, preach the word. As we return now and close in chapter 4, I want you to notice what he said here. What is the word? Notice how he referred to it in verse number 2 of chapter 4. He referred, the last word there is doctrine. You know what that word means? Teaching. Every time we meet here at Fellowship Baptist Church, we have teaching time. Sometimes that teaching time is through the expression of preaching. But we take the scripture and we open it up and we go line upon line. Just like I did in chapter 1 and showed you men who were ashamed of the truth. In chapter 2, men who were erring from the truth. In chapter 3, men who resisted the truth. And Paul said right here to this man of God, preach the truth. Why? Because you've got this group of people out here that are fighting against the truth. And there's got to be some men that'll stand up in this day. He said, you preach the word, Timothy. Don't you fall in with them. Stir up that gift in you. I pray that God will stir up the gift in somebody this morning and say, I have been somber too long. The embers of my fire have been dormant too long. I pray the wind of the Holy Ghost would sweep over my fire and stir me up. Burn me out for the cause of Christ. Preach the word. He referred to it as doctrine. Verse number 3, he referred to it as sound doctrine. You know what that word sound means? Healthy. The Bible's healthy for you. Good for you. There's been surveys and studies done that show that people who go to church live a fuller, happier life. Well, I didn't need a survey. I'm a living survey. I'm here to tell you, you're looking at one happy man. My life was in shambles when Jesus found me. And many of yours were as well. But I am so glad that God could take an old broken mess and apply His grace to it. Lift me up out of an old horrible pit and set my feet on a solid rock and turn my face toward heaven and say, now go, boy, go. By the grace of God, I've been going ever since. Well, I've fallen along the wayside every now and then, but the Bible says that though a just man falls 7 times, he'll get up again and go on for the glory of God. Amen. Perhaps you're here and you've taken a little fall. I pray that I would be the arm that you would reach out and grab today through the preaching of the Word of God and let God put you on your feet again and let you know God's not through with you. God has something for you. As long as you have breath in your bosom, God has something for you to do.
Amen.
Maybe today you just needed something to stir up that gift in you. You used to serve God. You used to stand for truth. You used to be a deacon or a choir member or a Sunday school teacher or a bus route worker. You used to be an usher. I don't know. But you've fallen by the wayside. I pray today that you would let the Word of God speak to you and do something. Do something for the glory of God. Why? Verse 8 says, one day we're going to stand before the Lord, brethren. Paul's getting ready to pull out and he said, I'm glad I done it, Timothy. You know, one day I'm going to pull out. One day you are. I tell folks here often, I say this much and you know it. When you get ready to leave here, you're going to look back over your life as I will, and we're either going to be able to say one of two things. Listen to me now. I'm glad I did, or I wished I would have. I'm glad I did. I'm glad I served the Lord. I'm glad I told people about Jesus. I'm glad I was faithful. I'm glad I did what God called and commissioned me to do. Or you're going to look back and say, oh, I wished I would have. Now, you don't want to look back over life that way. What kind of testimony is that passing on to those after you? Your children's watching. Our grandchildren, the next generation's watching. And if all they see is a here and there, a hit and a miss, there's not a whole lot to fuel that fire in them. But when they see an example and a pattern of faithfulness and godliness, it'll send them on a quest that I believe will bring them to the place God would have them to be. Let's all stand.
Amen.
Preach the word. Say, well, what is a pastor on this Pastor's Appreciation Month? What's a pastor's duty? Well, there are many. There are many. But if I drop dead here before I leave, and Fellowship Baptist Church has to go on a search to find the man of God that will fill this pulpit, I pray that among the top of the things that they will have at the list in searching for a man to fill this pulpit would be that he preaches the Word. Amen. That he preaches the Word. He meets the qualifications and he accepts the responsibility to preach the Word. Now that's just where it starts. I'm not saying that's where it ends, but it ought to be right up there at the top. Give me a man that's going to preach to me. We need preaching. Amen. Our children need preaching. Let's bow our heads together.